Hello and welcome to another KETR's Locker Room, the one and only sports podcast for Northeast Texas. I'm Cooper Welch, and here with me is my co-host, Taylor Phelps. Ryan Billups is sick this Tuesday, but he should be back Friday. We've also got a special guest with us this week, Coach Nicole Anderson, the head coach of the women's lines basketball team for A&M Commerce. We're going to talk with her a little bit, and then we'll move on to, of course, March Madness. That's a really big thing this week. And then we'll talk playoff chances for the Mavs. All right, let's get down to business. First, Coach, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. From San Diego, California, and the youngest of six beautiful children by Lily Jean Jackson. I played my college basketball at UCLA and played a little bit of a stint of professional basketball.
Okay.
For a nice long time.
All right. How'd you get started in coaching?
I actually didn't want to coach at all. There was an athletic director at a high school that I worked at in 20 years ago, we'll just put it that way, and he begged me to coach, and I turned him down about four times, and finally, after they couldn't find anyone else, he said, hey, I really, really need you. So I said, okay, 1 year. And 20 years later, I'm still doing it.
All right. Well, that's usually how it happens.
Right.
What drew you to Commerce?
You know what? I knew that after some interviewing and after a bit of research about the university, I found out that a tremendous amount of the students here are first-generation college students, and that was me. So I wanted to find out a little bit more, and I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. I was born in Dallas but raised in San Diego, so I had the opportunity to say come back home.
Awesome. Where were you at before Commerce?
I was at Long Beach State University. Before that, San Diego State University. Prior to that, University of New Haven and University of San Diego before that.
So probably a little different atmosphere than California.
Yes, a lot different, actually.
So you've been here for a few years. What do you think has changed the most, the campus or athletics or anything, since you've been here?
Oh, it's... I think some of the things that have changed is obviously the living residence for the incoming students, freshmen, and now the sophomore dorms that are going up. I think the rec center has been beautiful and a wonderful addition. It was here prior to my arrival. In addition to that, just what the president has done in making this more of a walking campus, putting the walkways and the different signage that's on campus has been great.
I agree.
What's your biggest goal while you're here?
Win a national championship.
Okay.
It's always
same
a good
as
one.
Day one. It'll right. never change.
Always a good one.
That's a great goal to have.
What's the most important part of your job?
Mentoring these young women and making them into better people than what they arrived as.
Okay, I want to talk about arrival of them.
Sure.
What do you try to sell when they come in? What's the number one? You talked about like the rec and the new student housing, but what's some other things that...
I think those things actually sell themselves when student athletes have a chance to take a look at our campus. The campus itself is very nice. So, and it is a pleasant surprise for many parents and many young students who come on. But the main thing that we sell is the fact that we're going to create a program that is a solid foundation. And when the kid leaves this program, they're leaving with a degree and they're leaving as better people than those that arrived on the campus. In addition to that, we sell the A&M stamp that you're getting a degree that has that A&M label on it that's going to give you an opportunity to open some doors that other degrees wouldn't get for you. We sell the foundation of our program, the administrative staff, and my kids. The kids who are currently on the team do a great job of recruiting other players. So they do the majority of the work. Yeah. My job is over once we get them on campus.
It's up to the players here.
Yeah.
You want to talk about, let's talk about this season.
Sure.
Congratulations, first of all.
Yeah, first time in 4 years.
Definitely a great finish to the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome.
What do you think was different about this year compared to the other years that you've been here?
Well, we're older. Now the young ladies who are juniors on our team were sophomores.
Yeah.
And prior to that, they were freshmen. So when you're depending on freshmen and sophomores to do the majority of the scoring and the majority of the thinking and reacting and defending, you're going to have a tremendous number of breakdowns and mistakes that are made. Now those same individuals are juniors. They have the game experience. They have more knowledge of the game. And they understand their responsibility as a scorer. So we have a solid foundation of individuals who've had a lot of playing time, a lot of experience, and now they're able to be the foundation holders, not just the builders, but the holders for what we're trying to do. So I think that's been the most significant thing that everyone has noticed. Like, wow, that's been a tremendous transition.
Yeah.
But it's just
growth
maturity.
And individual players. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, maturity.
All right. We're looking forward to next season. I'm sure you are too. Any thoughts about next season, like biggest challenges you have to overcome, things like that?
I think one of the biggest challenges that we're going to face is the fact that we're no longer the at the lower levels. Mm-hmm. We are going to have a target on our backs, which means we have to make sure as players and coaching staff that we are absolutely prepared for what we need to do. Not saying that we weren't prepared before, but the reality is when the target is on your back, you got to step your game up, which means our recruiting needs to continue to get better. And our players need to take the offseason and take it as a challenge, recognizing that where we are today isn't going to be good enough for next year.
Yes. All right. We also know about Lynn Bishop's addition midseason. Yeah. What kind of impact do you think he brought to the team?
Lynn has been an incredible addition to the women's basketball program. I'll just start with me and how he's helped me. He gives me different perspective on the game in the midst of it, which is obviously key to our success. In addition to that, he has the perfect demeanor for not only me and what I need, because I can get pretty bitey a lot, but he's pretty calm most of the time. But he's wonderful for our players. They can bounce things off of him. They feel very comfortable coming in and speaking to him. And when you have assistant coach and head coach, the players have to be able to go to the assistant and vent sometimes about the head coach. So Lynn allows that, but always on the same page. He's an incredible role model. He has a great family who's very, very supportive of our program as well. And he just brings the tradition of what it takes to be a Lion. And it was something that I was really, really excited about. And even though we brought him in late, he was a major consideration prior to his actual arrival.
All right. Well, every week we like to ask our guests a special controversial question. We're going to go a little off script this week. There are no Texas teams in the men's tournament this year.
Oh, really?
Yes. The first time since...
I didn't even realize that until...
Yeah, we looked at a map and we saw that there weren't any teams.
Wow.
So this is the first time since 1977. Do you think this is because of... the one and done system, like at Texas, or what do you think is causing that?
I think there's parity across the country now, whereas Texas had tons of talent in a centralized area for the most part, and now that talent is being spread to different locations in different areas, and kids are making decisions from Texas to go to other schools as well. So it may be that a Texas team isn't necessarily in it, but Texas kids are playing in different areas. So I think there's parity across the nation.
Do you think that some of our Texas schools should start looking to recruit more here and try to snatch those kids up together? And
absolutely. I think we should always try to recruit locally. Mm-hmm. It adds so much to what you're doing from just a fan base. It's a financial contribution that can be made when you have Texas kids playing in Texas schools. So there's a number of different factors that can be majorly beneficial for any program if you choose to stay at home.
All right. Well, that's the serious section. We're going to hit the rapid fire questions real quick. I know everybody really enjoys hearing those. So let's get started with that. All right. So first, favorite sport?
Hockey.
Hockey. Okay.
Favorite athlete?
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett, okay. So, favorite team, would that be the Celtics?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
What do you think about Tony Romo? Are you a fan or not of him? Cowboys?
I am definitely not a fan of Tony Romo. Not even close.
Okay. College or professional sports?
College.
Okay.
Who do you think you'd see win the Super Bowl? Do you have a favorite NFL team, or do you?
Well, I did. I really was pulling for Ray Lewis, so I was excited about them, but I'm a Cowboy fan.
Okay. Cowboy fan.
Yes. If we get rid of Romo, we have
And Jerry Jones, probably.
Probably.
Do you like or hate mascots?
I like mascots.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
Would you rather read or watch a movie?
Watch. Okay.
Favorite band?
Band?
Or musician, anything.
Yeah, anything.
Musician. Well, I'm a gospel artist. I like gospel music.
Gospel
quite
music,
a bit.
Okay.
So
okay.
John P. Key and Hezekiah Walker.
Do you have a favorite song?
I do right now. It's called Grateful.
Grateful,
by,
Grateful.
Hezekiah Walker.
Okay.
Yep.
Biggest inspiration?
Two people in particular, my mom and my coach.
Okay.
So you said you didn't really want to coach. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a doctor, and then I went to college. I wanted to be a pediatrician, and I went to college, and it was one of the first bio classes. Bio 5 changed my mind really, really quickly, so I had to make a different choice as far as academics go.
Would you rather have steak or pizza?
Pizza.
Sausage or bacon?
Bacon.
Golf or bowling?
Golf.
Okay.
If you could have any superpower, what would you choose?
Ooh. Oh, man. X-ray vision.
Mm. Okay. Would you watch a game on TV or at the stadium?
TV. Get TV. Replay.
Okay.
Favorite actor or actress?
Love. Absolutely love. Richard Gere.
Okay. Richard Gere. Fox News or CNN?
CNN.
Okay.
Three things you take out of a burning building.
Pictures of family. Ooh, my shoes. And my clothes.
Those are good practical answers. All right, would you rather fight Mike Tyson or talk like him forever?
I would rather fight him.
Yeah, that's what everybody said.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watch either of these, but would you rather watch American Idol or Dancing with the Stars?
Definitely Dances with the Stars. Absolutely. Okay. I want to be a contestant.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week, Coach. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We're going to take a very quick break, and then we'll be back with the rest of KETR's Locker Room.
Of Latin soul. Join me on Tuesday night for a journey through Latin jazz, bossa nova, flamenco, and much more. Latin soul, Tuesday night at 9, following Natalie Texan on KETR.
Latino stories are American stories. Each week on Latino USA, we take you to unexpected places and hear unexpected voices. It's about you, your neighbors, and our changing country. Join me, Maria Hinojosa, on Latino USA.
Saturday morning at 9 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
All right, welcome back to KETR's Locker Room, the one and only sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Coach Anderson had to go get some lunch, but Taylor Phelps and I are still here, Cooper Welch. We're going to talk NCAA March Madness now. Everybody cares about that, and it's in March, of course.
Best time of year.
Yeah, best time of year for basketball fans. Of course, for a baseball and football fan like me, it's not the best. But hey, my Spurs are still playing, so that's all
that
matters.
That's true.
All right, first let's talk our brackets. Who do you have making the Final Four?
I think a lot of people have talked this year about how we could see so many upsets, but I just don't see it happening the way teams are playing right now. And I look at the bracket. I think I'm going to put Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, and Georgetown in my Final Four.
Okay. Why those four?
When I look at the Midwest, which is what Duke, Louisville, Michigan State are in, Louisville gives up so many leads that they're not going to be able to come back. Louisville if you really stop the guards, the guard play of Louisville, you can beat them. You can really beat them. So I think if they end up matching up with Duke at the end, I think Duke has a pretty relatively easy road. Albany first, Creighton or Cincinnati second. I have Creighton going on to that game. and I have Duke making it to the sweet to the Elite Eight with Louisville. I don't even know if Louisville will make it to the Elite Eight. I see them maybe being knocked off by Mizzou.
Okay.
Missouri could somehow reach that. I think Oregon. I have Oregon as an upset team.
So over Oklahoma State, then?
I have Oregon over Oklahoma State and St. Louis.
Wow, okay.
To make it to the Sweet 16. So that's just why I'd pick Duke. I think Gonzaga is just, they're too solid. Gonzaga and Indiana are kind of the same type of team to me, and that's who I have playing in the national championship.
Gonzaga versus Indiana.
Okay. And I would love for Gonzaga to win. Mm-hmm. I respect Mark Few a lot, the head coach at Gonzaga, but I just think Indiana's too deep. I think they have too much depth, and they're too good at every position. They make too smart of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're a mature team, a very mature team who knows how to win. And I think in this tournament, that's what's going to help you win. Mature teams, we've seen Butler and VCU, teams with seniors, make it. A lot of these teams that are very good, like Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, have seniors on their team. And I just think Georgetown is just one of the most talented teams in the country, playing good at the right time. So that's why I've selected the teams I have for my Final Four.
Okay. Well, in my Final Four, I've got Indiana, Wisconsin, Louisville, and Florida. So a little bit different than yours.
Mm-hmm.
I've got
Wisconsin, a very good team.
Yeah, Wisconsin really could do some damage. And I think they'll beat Gonzaga, I think, if they can get past Kansas State.
I have that matchup. That was a tough one to pick for me, because Wisconsin is a solid team. They play the way that they're taught to play by their coach, and they don't fray from that.
Bo Ryan is a magnificent coach, and they've made at least a Sweet 16 like the past 3 or 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only if Wisconsin can get past Kansas State, who is also a very well-coached team and actually higher seeded than Wisconsin. But if Wisconsin can get past Kansas State, they have a good chance against Gonzaga, and I don't think Ohio State's going to be a challenge. I don't see why so many people are high on Ohio State.
I don't either, and I've seen them play, mm-hmm. and people talk about how good they are. Yes, they're athletic and they're good, but I just don't see them. It was hard for me. I picked Iowa State over Notre Dame.
Yeah, I did
Notre
too.
Dame hasn't been playing well, and it was hard for me to put Ohio State beating Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
It was just hard for me because I just don't see Ohio State as being a top team.
Okay. Well, let's see. In my championship, I've got Louisville versus Florida, because I think Louisville can get past Wisconsin. And I think Florida can beat Indiana, because I haven't been that impressed with Indiana this year.
That's your championship, Louisville, Florida?
Yes. And I think Florida can beat Louisville. If I was just going by the ESPN Insider Analyze Your Bracket thing, they said that if Florida was to go against Louisville, which is like a 0.1 chance, I mean, it's not very high.
Yeah, all chances.
But if they play each other, Florida is very favored over Louisville.
I would say that.
Yeah. I stayed with Florida. I have Florida winning 65-59.
It's just teams win NCAA tournaments, not necessarily players. I think the last time I can remember a player just pretty much single-handedly taking his team to the championship game might be Larry Bird back with Indiana State. And that's the 70s. Mm-hmm. And they still lost because teams win NCAA tournaments. And the best teams that play the best together are the ones that are going to make it. So I just don't think – I think Georgetown is good. I think they'll make it to the Final Four because I don't think their bracket – Is that difficult? I mean, Florida's good. Minnesota's good. And another point we were talking about before we started the show, we were talking about how many teams in that Southern bracket are NCAA championship coaches. You have Bill Self at Kansas, Roy Williams at North Carolina. You have...
He was also at Kansas, too.
At Kansas, and winning at Kansas. You have Tubby Smith at Minnesota, who won at Kentucky. You have Billy Donovan at Florida, who won... two back-to-backs when they had Joakim Noah and those players. And then you also, lastly, have San Diego State Steve Fisher, who won at Michigan.
Yeah.
Those are just great coaching. And even Georgetown's coach, the son of
John
the old
Thompson
Georgetown
III,
coach, John Thompson III.
And Shaka Smart is in there, too,
with
VCU.
And Shaka Smart's in there. I'm telling you, you want to watch good basketball, this is the bracket to watch.
Watch the South, people.
These teams are going to be ready to go. They're going to be ready to play.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about March Madness. How many top seeds do you think will make the Final Four, even if you weren't going just by your bracket?
Oh, just by my bracket?
Yeah.
I think two can make it. I think that's a realistic number. Like I talked about earlier, the upsets, I think are going to happen in the first round between, like, 5 and 12s.
Yeah.
And in the second round, they'll happen. But I think these top-tier teams – are going to be able to advance, because I look at the play-in games and I look at the statistics of these people that have played in North Carolina A&T. Now, they may not be Liberty today. They play today. They're 290th in points per game, 293rd in assists per game, and 317th in field goal percentage. If they were to beat Liberty and play Louisville, there's no way I'm going to take them at all. Liberty is a 15-20 team. They squeezed into the tournament because they won their conference tournament. This only play-in teams that I see that could do anything are St. Mary's and Boise State, and I have both of them advancing after they win their play-in game, because Boise State has played Michigan State very close. I think that game went into overtime. St. Mary's has been in a tough conference, finished second. They've played very good teams. They have very good players, and they're one of those teams that plays together as a team and as a unit, and they have good chances to advance in the tournament. So when you're filling out your bracket, I really like to look at teams that play together, that play as a team and a unit and don't have one individual that's doing everything. The only exception I see is Otto Porter at Georgetown, and he's just a phenomenal player.
Right. I think every number one seed has a chance this year. I think a better chance for anything happening this year than ever. I think it's more spread out. There's more, as she was saying,
talent
dispersal. Yeah.
I don't even think I answered the question. I think two will be able to make it, whether it's Louisville. I don't really see Kansas, because I think that bracket is so tough.
I think Kansas has the hardest road.
And
there.
Kansas isn't, I mean, I say that. Kansas lost those three games in a row, and I think it's the only three losses they have. But
besides the TCU loss.
Yeah. But that bracket's just so tough. Michigan, Georgetown. Don't sleep on Minnesota. Very good team. Florida's a good team. Oklahoma's a good team. I mean, that whole bracket is just top to bottom. If you want to find a place that's going to bust your bracket, it's going to be the Southern region.
And honestly, I think, okay, let's do this. The top seeds, first game, the play-in game, or whoever they're playing in the 16th, the 1 versus 16, who do you think has the best chance to beat the number
upsetting.
One seed? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Not Louisville or Indiana. Those teams are just not very good. North
not
Carolina,
even close.
A&T, and Liberty. Liberty's just happy to make the tournament.
Yeah. And then LIU.
LIU
and
Brooklyn
JMU.
Is not very good at all.
Yeah. Neither.
James Madison's not very good.
I don't see either team beating Indiana.
No.
And I don't really see Southern beating Gonzaga either. But
I could see Western Kentucky.
I think Western Kentucky could do it.
Kansas, because I think Kansas is the weakest one seed. I think that they're very up and down. Who knows what they might come in and beat Western Kentucky by 40 points, and they might come in and get beat by 15.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know. That's why it's hard. It was hard for me to trust them. That's why I thought whoever won the VCU Michigan game is going to knock them off. I think that's where they're gonna end their road in the Sweet 16.
Definitely.
And it might happen before then. Could happen with the North Carolina. They've been playing better as the season's progressed. So we'll just have. I mean, I'm just telling you that Southern region. That's going to be the one to watch. And if you want to turn on your TV and watch, that's going to be a very interesting.
Yeah. Best basketball
in
that
region.
All right. Well, let's go to the next part of March Madness. As we talked about with Coach Anderson, there are no Texas teams in the tournament for the first time since 1977. This is pretty ridiculous.
It's an outrage.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, to have as much talent that you have in Texas to see dispersed throughout the nation and to see in the NBA and playing at very high levels, it is ridiculous to not have a team in the NCAA tournament. Look at Billy Gillespie. He is the prime example of someone. Yeah, he retired from Texas Tech, but I'm talking about what he was doing at A&M.
Okay,
what he did at A&M is the blueprint for what any Texas coach should do if you're going to coach here.
Yeah.
You need to recruit Texas kids. I think when Gillespie went to the Sweet 16 with AC Law, I think he had only two players not from Texas. One was from Canada, and I don't remember where the other one was from. And those two players were not recruited by him.
Yeah.
He had all Texas players, and he made it to the Sweet 16. It was the best team in Texas. It was better than Texas, better than
Way
Tech.
Way better than Texas.
Better than Tech with Bobby Knight.
And that was Texas with Kevin Durant, or maybe the year before that.
It was right, but think of how many NBA players Texas has had. LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and A&M beat him that year.
Yes, I mean, that A&M's was killing them, was beating them over and over again.
Yeah.
And now you see these coaches aren't recruiting Texas players, and it's come back to bite Rick Barnes very badly.
Right.
Because
now
they're not any good. Texas is terrible.
Let's look at who's coaching just in Texas. We've got Larry Brown at SMU. They should have made the tournament. They lost, I think, 15 of their last 20 games and dropped out completely. Baylor should have made the tournament, definitely.
Yeah, Baylor's another team, and I forget about Baylor, but they were a very good team last year. But now it's just, I don't know what it is. I don't have an explanation.
I think it just goes back to the one and done stuff, because all the Texas teams recruit pro ready kids, quotation marks, and
not
then ship
Texas,
them off. Not from Texas.
From Washington D.C. or from the East Coast or West Coast areas.
Yeah.
Bring them here. They don't care. They have no tradition here. They don't have their families here that they're getting to play in front of. It's just not the same. Mm-hmm. If SMU was to target Dallas kids, they don't even have to get the best ones. If Duke approaches you, you're probably going to go to Duke.
Of course.
Your family's going to want you education-wise, just tradition-wise, talent-wise, you're probably going to go there. But the lower-tier kids that can't go to Duke and maybe are being offered scholarships by VCU or Mississippi State, like Marshall Henderson, a kid who's offered by Ole Miss, playing great, one of the best players in college basketball, and he's a Texas kid.
Yep.
I mean, you have all these Texas kids. I just have a list of Texas kids, like Marcus Smart, Oklahoma State. Half the Oklahoma State roster's from Texas.
And Oklahoma stuff is always from Texas.
Yes,
they always
all of them. Oklahoma
football,
kids
basketball,
are from Texas.
Yeah.
Everything. Phil Pressey at Missouri. Mm-hmm. That's another tournament team, one of the best players in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Texas had offered him, I don't know if Texas offered him a scholarship or not, but it's hard for me to imagine that if he got offered a scholarship in Texas instead of Missouri, that he's going to go to Mizzou. So it's just not as much tradition there for him. His family can't watch him as much. It's just not the same. And Rashid Suleiman at Duke. That's another Texas kid. Marshall Henderson, I mentioned, at Mississippi. Andre Robertson at Colorado. These are all Texas kids that have left our state to go play at other schools and to represent that state. And it shouldn't be that way.
All right. Real quick, just to end this segment, to end to Tuesday segment, excuse me for the stutter. Rick Barnes, is this his last season? Is he gone? Is he fired for not making the tournament this year?
You know, I'm not a huge Texas fan, and I never have been.
Okay.
Rick Barnes, it would be hard for me to keep him because he hasn't done anything to prove that he deserves the job. It's not that they've been bad. You know, it's not a situation where I mean, this is the first year they've really been bad.
Yeah.
It's not a situation. It's like you've had your turn. Mm-hmm. Now we need to see what someone else can do.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Yes, what have you done for me lately, and what have you actually achieved? Like, you need to make a Final Four at Texas. The University of Texas has nice enough facilities, a nice enough area to live in, that you should be able to make a Final Four there in a stint of how long Rick Barnes has been there.
Yeah.
Maybe not in 2 or 3 years, but over the course of 7 or 8 seasons, you should be able to advance to the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, or Final Four. It's just how it should be. And any of these big-time programs, you would see the coach get fired if they weren't able to do that. Tom Izzo at Michigan State has been able to consistently reach Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, and Final Fours.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Pitino at Louisville, Michigan, all these big-name schools have been able to consistently be good. And Rick Barnes just hasn't proven that. Even Arizona has been able to make Sweet 16s.
Yeah.
And that's just not something we've been able to do here.
And, I mean, if you go back to it, as we've said before, there are no Texas teams with championships, NCAA championships in basketball, except for
Texas Western.
Texas Western, which is now UTEP.
So, I mean, that's the only, you want to know the only school I think that's in the NCAA tournament right now is Midwestern State. Well, they lost. They've actually lost. So now, no, I don't think any Texas teams are in it at all.
At all. Which in any level that
any level from Division III. I don't know about JUCO, but from Division III, and I don't even know how their system works.
Yeah.
But D3 up to D1, no NCAA tournament teams whatsoever.
And there should be. Texas is a huge place.
It's a huge market because
we have hundreds of schools.
You should know that when other coaches come recruit your kids.
Yeah.
You should know that you're losing your home field battle with your kids. And we saw even Carthel talk about that in football.
Yeah.
Most of our team is Texas kids, even here at A&M Commerce. And you're seeing these schools like Butler, who get these Indiana kids that are local to them, getting the good kids there, and they're being successful because they progress these kids till they're seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids develop, and they become better basketball players, and they play together as a team, and that's how they get good in the end.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this Tuesday. We'll be back Friday. Hopefully Billups will be back. We're going to have our we hope so. We're going to have our tournament brackets posted on ESPN, and you can join us and play against us. Not any prize or anything, but you can have bragging rights, I guess. Yeah. You beat the KETR locker room people. Just go on ESPN.com and search for KETR's locker room as the group. Join us. I've already got my bracket on there. Taylor and Bill will both have theirs up soon. So thank you so much for listening. We'll be back Friday, and good luck in the March Madness.